Well, I preached here, I don't know if this is on, and sound it. Do I need to push a button?
Turn the knob.
We got it. I preached here Sunday, something pretty similar to what I'm going to preach right now. Well, we'll see about that even, but the thought to start, I think it's a good thought to think about. Jesus Christ can come in any shape or form that you want. It's just the truth of it. The Bible warns of other Jesuses, warns of other spirits. It says to try the spirits. You can have any religion that you want, any religion that you desire, anything that intellectually can make sense to you. If you can wrap your mind around it, you can have it. And you can probably, if you're a tough guy, you're an aggressive guy, you could probably get some people to follow you, or you're just really convincing and you have a good way of speaking, you could probably get some people to follow you and to listen to your Jesus and your religion and your thoughts. But the Word of God, Brother Kessel, when he was praying, when we were downstairs, he quoted the verse out of Hebrews chapter 4. The verse says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's not something that we can take and pile together in our minds. It's not something that we can, with a group of people, agree upon. And because we've agreed upon it, this is the truth. No, the Word of God pierces through any of that. The Word of God pierces through any kind of shape or form that you can create for Jesus Christ. There is only one religion. There's only one true religion. There's only one true Jesus Christ. We're going to start in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Appreciated what Luke had to say. I thought when he was reading about the Levites going out there and preaching the Word of God, I thought that we've been commanded to do that in the New Testament. I know in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." That's what it says. He also read a verse right after this one. I believe it's Acts 18, verse 25, and it said, "And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, it said that he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John." It's important that we share these things. It's important that we teach and we speak about God. We're going to start 2 Timothy chapter 3. See if we're even in the right place. I'm not even recognizing my own notes here. That's a good sign. Helps to be in the right Timothy. That's it. That's the key. I'm following after Peter now. Woo! All right. I recognize it. Here's the thought. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Amen. There's a form of godliness. I'll say this. Godliness has a form. You will conform to God. Yes. If you want to live righteous, if you want to live the way that God would have you to live, you will live in a form.
Right.
But there are those that have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What's that power? What is the miracle that God does for people? What's the miracle? It's not a lifestyle. God does not give a miracle down from heaven to give you a lifestyle
where your life works out okay. That's not the miracle that God gives to people. God gives to people truth. God gives to people truth. The Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then the next verse, it says that God will lay all men naked before him. It said that the Spirit of God searcheth all things. That's the miracle that God gives to people. He doesn't give you a lifestyle. He doesn't give you a form. It's not about friends. It's not about a structure. It's about the truth. And where does God want that truth to be? Where does he want that truth to be? Does he want it? We certainly know that this is the truth. But where does he want that truth to be? It's not just to be sat here. It's not just to be talked about and spake about. It's not just to be feared. The truth is to do something. There are those that have a form, but they deny the power thereof. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to consider here the power of God. Consider it from this light of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I think it'd be good to read some verses before that. We'll read in verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. It's not in his speech. It's not in his excellency of wisdom. Though we love to hear excellency of wisdom, we love to have this formulation in our head where we can understand it and we can grasp it. And because it makes sense, and because maybe my life was bad before and things were troubled in my life before, maybe this thing, because it's so wise, I'm going to follow after this. But he said in verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but what? But in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul pretty plainly says he's not trying to convince these people using his ability in speech. He's not trying to convey these very wise thoughts and words and put them out there. This is not a debate. This is not Congress or anything of the sort. He's out there with the word of God, and it says of itself, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. That is the power of God. And then, after he says, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I don't believe there's any other way to stand in faith. I don't believe there's any other way. Let's go to chapter 4. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know that the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power, not the speech, rather, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. What are they knowing? It's not the speech of them that are puffed up, but the power. Read on. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God is not an enticing word. It's not an convincing men. You can convince a man as much as you possibly can. You could threaten a man. You could take away a man's chance at life. You could put a man in prison. As my Sunday school teacher talks about often, you could take away every pleasure he has in life. I have an older brother that spent 17 years in prison, and he told me, Tim, there's no end to the suffering that the guards can do to you if they want to. If you have angered them or you are being a fool, they can continually take away pleasure and put worse on you and put worse on you. And you know what? You know what he told me? He said he knew a man who he really liked. The man was good to him. And he said, but that man was so bitter and awful that he would make the guards angry with him on purpose. And he would do things to anger the guards, and they would continually take away pleasure and take away light and take away food and take away comfort and take away warmth. And he said at the end of it, he still was bitter and he still was angry, and it never did anything for him. And you know what? He was never convinced. They tried pretty hard to convince him he was a fool, and he was never convinced. Didn't convince him at all. But the Bible says it's through power. It's not through enticing words. It's not through men's wisdom. It's not cunningly devised fables. You cannot put these things together and somehow come up with God. You cannot do that. You cannot speak long enough to conjure up God. You cannot strive hard enough to conjure up God. Can I say, you cannot even believe hard enough to conjure up God, because you can't believe hard enough to conjure up Santa Claus. You cannot believe hard enough to conjure up God. It takes faith, and it takes the power of God to stand in that faith.
Good.
We'll consider this right now. My mom sent out this verse. So my dad says that my mom does his notes. My mom does do my notes. Thank you, Mom. If we'd let her, she'd preach. It's true.
Amen.
Not the only one that says it. All right, Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Starting at the paragraph 20 and 21. He's speaking with the Pharisees here. And it says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God, it's not by word, it's not by men's wisdom, it's not by enticing words, but the kingdom of God, I'll say this also, you don't look here for the kingdom of God, you don't look there for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. It's prophesied in the Old Testament that day would come. It was prophesied by the prophets. Moses spoke of it. Jeremiah spoke of it. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31. Start at the paragraph in verse 31. He prophesies of something greater and something better for the children of Israel. And we know that he also prophesies and says it for the Gentiles, because he said of the Gentile, rejoice, O ye Gentile. And in verse 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. He has grievance with Israel. They've gone against him.
They've gone against him. I spoke with an Amish man. Spent about 6 hours with him last Saturday, traveling around, trying to look at cabinets and whatnot, going to buy some cabinets from him. And we spoke of the Bible for about 5.5 hours of 6 hours. He helped me. He said to me in the morning, I didn't even read my Bible or anything, and he said, he didn't even know me, and he said, you know, if you don't consider God, you're liable. If you don't take time out of your day for God, you're liable just to go your whole day without thinking about God. And I said, sir, I wish you wouldn't have said that to me. I said, I didn't really appreciate that. He's like, I'm not trying to preach at you. And I said, but you did. But you got me. But I know that they don't really read their Bibles in full. And I spoke to him of how Israel was that backsliding heifer, and that Israel, like that wife, which is treacherous and goes away from her husband, God, and she went away from God and she did vile things, but God said, I'll take you back. I'll take you back and I will clean you up. I'll clean you up and I'll do something marvelous for you. Amen. That's what God will do for Israel.
Yes, sir.
And so he's considered these things and he said, God himself has been a husband to Israel. Now in verse 33, he's promising them something better. We know in Hebrews, we do have a better covenant. We do have better promises. We know that in Ephesians chapter 2, twain made one by the cross. Consider this in verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God and they shall be my people. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. He said, you're not going to look there and you won't look here, but you'll have to look on the inside to find the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not something to search out outside. The kingdom of God is a work of God. It's by the power of God. The Bible in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says, and the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. He takes that candle. He takes that spirit of man. It also says of the spirit of man that God formeth it within him. It said, no man has control over his own spirit to keep it. If God's going to take that spirit, he takes it. And he takes that candle on the inside of man and he searches man out. David said, search me, O God, know me. And he searches man out and he searches him on the inside. And you know what God looks for on the inside of man? He looks for truth. God looks for his own law on the inside of man. Luke read those verses, and I believe Proverbs chapter 6 about the law and the commandment. It said, if you bind it about thy neck, he said, when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. In Psalm chapter 16, it said, my reins also instructed me in the night seasons. God desires truth on the inside. God does not desire a form of godliness. He never has. He never will. That goes without the power. If you have a form of godliness and you have not truth on the inside, God doesn't have very great things to say about it. He has very negative things to say about it. Very negative things. But can I say to you, that is the miracle of the new birth.
Amen.
That is the miracle. The miracle is that when you look on the inside, you find something new and you find the law of God. You find the commandment. You find something totally different. Pastor Hain preached on Wednesday night, not looking for that experience. Some people look for an experience in salvation. And I remember the moment of getting saved and there being great peace. And I remember almost being troubled by it, thinking, no explosion to that. There's no great wonder to that. And I remember being so troubled by that. And at the same time, a pastor from North Carolina had texted me and he said, right when I was wondering about this, he said, Tim, it was 4th of July. He said, if you were looking for an experience, you need to go down to Cuba Lake because they're shooting off fireworks there. He said, but an experience has nothing to do with truth on the inward parts. He said, sometimes we like to blow it. I'm not going to say blow it up. Sometimes we like to spiritualize what God's done. And we'll say, he said to me, I could say, Tim, that I remember the day when the north wind blew and it blew by my way. But he said, also, I know that God had saved me. He said, I could just say, I know that God had saved me and it helped me. It was a comfort to me. But you know what I started to find? I started to find that there was truth somewhere that there had never been truth. That God would search me out with my spirit. He'd take a hold of that spirit, that candle of the Lord, and he'd search me out, and the preaching would go on. I remember the first message I sat under after being saved was Pastor Hain preaching, and I remember just starting to weep, thinking, I've never had this before. It's so new. I've never had this before. He'd given me newness of life. And it was so simple. And it was so quiet. But it came with fullness of assurance. It wasn't a form of godliness. It wasn't something I had followed after and walked after. Can I say, you cannot follow Christ to salvation. It's a work that he does. You cannot follow him real close until you know what? That woman that came and touched his garment wasn't because she followed him. It wasn't because of that. It was because of his faith. It's because he said to her, my faith hath made thee whole. It's not after some kind of lifestyle. I tried that. I know many that have tried that. I've heard many a testimony of trying a lifestyle out. Maybe if I try this lifestyle out, I'll have truth on the inward parts. Maybe if I conform to God, I'll have truth on the inward parts. But can I say, you've never conformed to God. You've never conformed to God if you don't have truth on the inward parts. There is no conforming to God without truth on the inward parts. It's not true. It's not true. All you've done is you've shaped. You've made some form of godliness and you've denied the power thereof. What is the power of the Word of God? What is the power? It's quickening. It's quickening. It gives you life where there was death. It gives you life where there was death. That's what the Word of God does. And so you know what the Bible says? It said, search the Scriptures.
Yes, sir.
It said, search the Scriptures. Search them out. Look into the Scriptures. Get into the Scriptures. The Bible said, search the Scriptures. Because in them, you think you have eternal life. And you know what? I searched the Scriptures. Something pings off the Scripture. It pings off the inside. It pings off the Scripture. And it says, we're agreed. I agree with that. And you know what? It doesn't go from here to here. Back. It went to the place, the location of a miracle. And that location was my heart. And it pings there, and it pings there, and it pings there, and it pings there. And you might say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that God can give truth on the inward parts. Well, let's turn there. Let's go to Psalm chapter 51. We know that many psalms speak of Jesus Christ. We know that Peter says so. We know that Paul says so. And if you just look, you'll say so. Amen. Psalm chapter 51, verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom in the hidden part. On the inward part. That's where wisdom eludes people. Wisdom escapes people on the inward parts. It doesn't reach them there. It doesn't grasp them there. Can I tell you, wisdom does grasp people right in their mind. Wisdom will get a hold of people's mind and it'll connect with their mind and it'll make sense and they'll hear something that's really good and logical or something that's motivational. You cannot be motivated to salvation. You cannot be motivated to live for Christ the rest of your life if you've never had truth on the inward parts. There's no motivation to do that.
There's no motivation that can actually push you to live a Christian life if you've never had truth on the inward parts, because all you'll be living is a form of godliness. A form of godliness. But what does the Bible say if you only have a form of godliness? You're denying the power thereof. You've had the power presented. It said that there are some that are enlightened in Hebrews chapter 6. Some that have been enlightened. You've even been convinced of things. You've heard things, and you've even been convinced of things and persuaded of things. Almost persuaded of things. But it's not man that's going to do the persuading. I've heard a preacher say, the only hands God has is our hands. The only feet God has is our feet. The only mouth God has is our mouth. If it's going to be said, he's going to use his servant to say it. God will not speak with an audible voice to you. God will not teach you outside of the word of God, but God will use his method and his servants to speak the word of God to you. And the Bible says that you must obey, that you must obey. I preached it here about a month and a half ago. I preached it here. What does obey link up with in the Bible? Obey and listen. It said listen and then obey. I think almost half the times obey appears in the Bible, it links up with listen and then obey. But you know what? They don't obey. They don't obey. He said, Jesus Christ said to people a pretty simple thing. He said a pretty simple thing. He said, ye must be born again. You must be born again. I tried that out on a man at work who I'd been speaking to about these things. I think he was taking it pretty seriously, because when a manager of sorts walked by, he said, shh, real quiet. Manager walks up and he asks me about some model that I was working on, which I was not talking to him about at all. And I thought that was pretty entertaining. And then the manager walked by, continued to speak to him about it. And I said to the man, I said, ye must be born again. I said, don't be confused by that. It's what Jesus Christ told you. He said, you cannot go your whole life and enjoy your life. You cannot just be a good old worker your whole life. You cannot just have a girlfriend and live your whole life with that girlfriend. You can't just be a hard worker. You can't be a good machinist and live your whole life. You can't just hit the gym and come back from the gym and live your whole life. You cannot just be convinced of things that are convincing. You cannot just walk a life with great wisdom packed in your head. You cannot serve your God, Joe Rogan, and get up the next morning and pray to him, because when you die, you're not going to wake up on the podcast. You'll wake up in a place you did not consider. You'll wake up in a place. You see, I work with people that worship men. They worship men. They'll even consider, they'll be spiritual, because man is a spiritual creature. And they'll be very spiritual about their health. They'll hear something on a podcast or hear something that other people were talking about. Everything's in a fad. And they'll hear about health and some kind of health thing. You need to have testosterone. The men I work with are in their 30s and they're all concerned about their testosterone level, because they get it tested and they have the money to get it tested, whereas most people would not care. But these men care, and they care deeply about it, and they go get their testosterone levels tested, and they tell me the reason I'm losing my hair is because of my testosterone. And I say, maybe you just are going to lose your hair. Maybe it's not the testosterone problem, and maybe you just have genetic problems. But they have these things that they worship. They chase after health. They chase after these things of health. One man said to me, he went on this long thing and he like had my attention, and he's just spitting it at me. And he's telling me all this stuff real quick. And it was such a grief to me to listen to him. I said, everybody takes consider for their physical health, but do you consider your spiritual health? Do you consider your spiritual health? Do you consider your spiritual health? How healthy are you physically? How healthy are you physically? You know what? Wouldn't always say this, but I'd rather suffer physically if I could be healthy spiritually. I'd rather be thin and frail and small. I'd rather lose all my hair. I'd rather have bad, achy bones my whole life if I could live a life that has truth on the inward parts. And when I get with the Word of God and when I sit under the preaching, there's connection back from me
to God. The Bible says, deep calleth unto deep. And I'd like for those connections to be linked up my whole life. I'd like for that to be a connection. I don't care about the physical. I don't worry about the physical. I don't want to worry about the physical. I don't want to care about that. I've chased so many things in my life. I've chased so many things. I've chased so many foolish things. The song says, wasted years, oh how foolish. Amen. Wasted years. But you'll get some things that you want if you're a hard enough worker, if you don't have a character problem, if you got, maybe you had some good parents or you just have a lot of grit in your craw and you walk a life or you're just a strong individual and you're a hard worker, you will pile up things for yourself. You will get that physical health that you want. You may even get the money. But the Bible says, don't let a cliche verse bother you. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall it profit him? What shall it profit him? Nothing. It'll profit you nothing. There is no prospering outside of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not prospering that's worth anything.
The folly.
The folly. There is a prosperity of fools. Said the prosperity of fools killeth them. Truth. It's not just here. But there's been a miracle. There's been a miracle that's done without hands. The Bible said, not by the will of man, nor by the will of the flesh, but by the will of God. It's been God's will that the miracle be done to people, that the miracle be done for people. I spoke with a man a couple weeks ago, and he laughed how people in his church will do their best to prove God wrong in something. Well, he's not quite right because of this. But why don't you try to prove God right? The Bible said, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
The Bible said, prove it. Why don't you prove God true? You know what? I don't have confidence in this flesh. I know people. I worked in a much more aggressive environment than I do now, with much more aggressive young men than I work with now. Everybody I work with now, very offended if people got aggressive. But I worked in an environment where it was bragged upon to be aggressive, and it was bragged upon to be tough. And if you got in a fight, you had to tell everybody about it, and you were so proud that you hurt somebody with your fists. But the Bible said those that shed blood are not to be praised. But I worked in such an environment, and you know what? They could hurt me. They could hurt me. They could do damage to my flesh. And you know what? Doesn't really concern me. It doesn't really bother me. But there was a time, and I know that there is others, and I see others, and I see them follow that path, and I see them walk that line. They do everything to be protected. They do everything to be defended. They'll even bolster their own body. I know young men who are so worried about losing their physical strength, so worried about it, they're so worried to even be seen in public, they'll get a bicep pump before they go to a party. They're so worried about it. They're so striving after what their body can protect them from. Man, what if somebody came at me with a crowbar? They'd probably just break your forearm anyways if they came at you with a crowbar, because it's a crowbar, let's be honest. But they try to prepare in every such way that they can, and they try to get themselves physically ready, and they're so angry and they're so intense. But you know what? The Bible says, safety's of the Lord.
Amen.
Safety is of the Lord. It's not in your body. And you know what? Back to why I said all that. I don't get confidence from the flesh.
Right.
I'm not up here with a whole lot of confidence in my flesh. But you know what? In the last couple months, God's done such wonderful things for me. I've been able to prove Him in my own life. I've been able to prove God in my own life. And sometimes I'm just shocked by it. I'm shocked that He's so good to me. I'm shocked that He's blessed my way and that He's helped me day by day. I could go into it, but it's not about me. It's not about me. But I have confidence in something that's better than that. I have confidence in the Word of God. And you know what? It's been proved to me in my life recently over and over again so much that it's almost a joke to have confidence in my flesh. It's almost a joke to have confidence in my flesh. It's almost laughable to think that maybe my body will hold up long enough. Maybe my body will protect me long enough. Maybe I need my body. But you know what? The body's for the Lord. The Bible says, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13, it said, meats for the belly and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Yep. Now it says of the body. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. You know what? God wants your body. God wants your body. You know what? I consider this. We get real upset if somebody's going to take and go ahead and get an abortion and they'll say, it's my body. It's not yours. But you know what? We say of our body to God, it's my body, not yours. But the Bible says, now the body for the Lord and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up His Son and will also raise up us by His own power. The body's for God. Your body's for God. I heard a man preach even while I was lost, and it made me so convicted, I could not stand it. A man preached, I believe it was Tim Green. He preached down in Georgia, and he said, he spoke of the first workout set that was ever created, and he spoke of that was marketed in that way, and how that man in the marketing of that weight set was going to be something spectacular, and he was able to get the girl that he wanted because he had that body and whatnot. And then he said, but you know what? I'd rather get up early and lose sleep and pray. I'd rather stay up late and learn from God and lose my health. He said, I'd rather live a life of bad health, yes, but have a good relationship with God, amen, than to have all the physical strength and all the physical needs. But at that time in my life, I had all the physical strength and I had all the physical needs taken care of. And I was so pleased with it. I was reaching towards a pinnacle that I thought, man, I could attain here. I could get something that I wanted. But you know what? God wants even the body. God wants the truth to be on the inward parts. God doesn't want you to live a life without truth on the inward parts. What a foolish and vain life. You know what vanity is? The Bible says of many things that it's a vanity. All is vanity. All is vanity, the preacher says. And you know what the Bible says of that? It's those things that you follow after. And at the end, what was the profit? What was the benefit? What was the profit to a form of godliness? What's the profit? What's the profit to live in an Amish life? What's the profit to live in a Mennonite life? What's the profit to live in a Mormon life? What's the profit in the end? What's the profit? What's the profit to live in a Baptist life? What's the profit to live in a Protestant life? What's the profit without truth on the inward parts? What's the profit to a form of godliness without truth on the inward parts? What's the profit to all these things? How do you build up a profit? You know how you do it? In your own mind. You have to build that up for yourself. You have to bolster it in yourself. You have to build it up and build these things around you and consider these things, and these things are good and they do good for me. Or you're just so tore up in sin that you can't think straight from day to day, and that very well may be the case. You think, no way can somebody be that tore up in sin. Let me count the ways. You can be so mixed up in sin, and sin have taken a hold of you so firmly and so tightly and so good that it'll make a fool of you openly. over and over and over and over again. It'll make a fool of you, and it'll drown you. It'll drown you. It'll drown you. I've been made a fool of pretty publicly before, pretty openly, pretty shamefully for myself. I don't think shame's a bad thing. I think if it was good for Jesus Christ, it's good for us. I think shame can help us. I think shame, we can learn from shame. Some public shame can help us sometimes. You know what? It says if you're a fool in the congregation, you'll be exposed before the congregation. I was exposed in my past. I've been made a fool. I still cringe when I talk about it. But you know what? The man that made a fool of me, you know what he texted me the next day because he loved me? He said, right about now, the devil's got you feeling really foolish, I'm sure. And I texted back, yup. Yup. That hurts. But you know what? You know what shame does for you? It'll make you change your mind. People won't change their mind at all. People will have their minds so constructed. The Bible says in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. You know what? How are you taken captive by the devil at the devil's will? You've not got repentance. Your mind's fixed. Your mind's fixed. But you know what? You know what God's faithful to do for man? God's faithful to take a hold of the spirit of man. And the Bible says he searches all the inward parts of the belly and he looks for truth. And he exposes and he looks. But you know what? God doesn't want you to be laid naked before others. God wants you to be laid naked before him. Hebrews chapter 4 says that all things are. The Bible says, and I believe 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that the Spirit searcheth all things. God searcheth all things. And he wants you to see that. He wants you to examine the inward parts. And you know what? It's so good for me to examine the inward parts. It's so good for the Christian to examine the inward parts, to take a really good look at the inward parts, to consider the inward parts in the preaching, and to think about the inward parts and think, what's going on in there? What's going on in there? Do I got a bunch of cunningly devised fables? Am I walking in my own pride? That's so easy to do. It's so easy to walk in your own pride. It's so easy to walk in your own ways and to not walk in God's ways. But God wants you to consider him, to consider truth, to walk in truth, to live in truth. There is no life outside of him. There's no Baptist life outside of God. There's no Amish life outside of God. You know what? An Amish man I spoke with for such a long time, he's probably lived more righteous than I have his whole life. He probably has. He probably has lived more righteous than I have his whole life. And you know what? There's been no profit to it. The only profit he's ever got from it is not gone deeper into sin. The Bible says, be not overly wicked. Why should you die before the time? He's not died before his time. It is appointed unto man once to die. And he hasn't died before his time. That's what not being in sin has done for him. But you know what? There is no profit without the truth on the inward parts. I spoke with the man at length about truth on the inward parts. Hadn't even been considering it. But the more I talked with him, the more I considered, what do they lack? They do not have truth on the inward parts. You can believe everything. You can believe everything. You can have a whole lot of beliefs. You can build up a fortress of beliefs. You can build up a house of belief. You can build up a house of thoughts and wise sayings and connections and some kind of structure that's built. But you know what? There is no other foundation save Jesus Christ the Lord. There is no other foundation. There is none. There's no other belief. There's no other structure. There's nothing that will hold. There's nothing that'll last you. You can walk. You can go your whole life. You can live in church. You can walk in church. You can walk outside of church. I know people that don't go to church that live more morally than I ever had before I was saved. I know people that are outside of church that have obedient children. I'll say this. I know people outside of church that are so successful. My boss,
won't be very specific, is such a motivational father that his own child was Gatorade Athlete of the Year this last year and went to the ESPYs and met LeBron and all those people. She has national records. She has international records, even in high school. That's pretty motivated. That's pretty motivated. And I've considered that and had to think about that. I've had to think about men's work ethics and consider men and their work ethics and all their abilities and all their skills. And you know what? A man has his own pilot's license. He works all day long. When he gets to work, he's just taking a shower because he wouldn't play basketball for a couple hours. And then after work, he goes ahead and works more. And you know what? There's fruit all throughout his life from it. There's fruit all throughout his life. And you consider, what do you say to a man that has all the fruit of this world? That has all the fruit of this world. Do you think God's forsaken him? Do you think God's forsaken him?
No.
Or does God love him?
Yes.
Does God love such a man? You know what? He scorns my Jesus right to my face. You know what? I love him. They even put up a little sticker on a window they just put in, expanding the office. They put a little sticker that says, I saw that, of some hippie-looking Jesus staring right at me. And you know what? They did it to mock me. But you know what I found? The more they mock me, they look more foolish. Because when you mock somebody that's walking in righteousness and that has truth on the inward parts, how can you make that person look foolish? How can you make a person look foolish that has truth on the inward parts? I don't know how you can. I don't know how you can mock somebody like that. I don't know. I don't even know how you can make me look stupid. I had a man there. It was beer day, St. Patrick's Day. They're drinking green beer. He gets right in my face. I've been around drunk so much, it didn't bother me at all. It was just absurd. But he gets right in my face and he drinks it. Does this bother you? And I said, no. And he said, oh yeah? He said, I'm taking communion. I said, no, you're not, sir, because you're not remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what, though? I talk with some. I speak with some. Well, maybe there is truth. Maybe this isn't just a lifestyle. I'm not just a weirdo with a Bible. I'm not just a weirdo that says he has a call to preach. There's been profit from it.
Amen.
There's been profit from it.
Amen.
There's been profit from it. Even in my own personal life, which I'll not speak about, has had so much profit in just the last few months. God has helped me so much. God has profited me so much. I speak to men and try to explain this profit, and they just think I'm privileged. And they think I'm privileged in some way. This is not a privilege. This is the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
For you to have truth on the inside is something for you to consider. It's something for God to consider. Because God knoweth all things, but he wants you to know. In John it said, I write these things that you may know that you have eternal life. And you know what? A little bit of preaching, a little bit of truth. And if you got the truth on the inward parts, they'll meet in the middle with a big old high five, and they'll say, we're agreed. We agree. We're agreed. But you know what? If those don't agree, you'll reach out and say, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Logically, I grasp that. I got that my whole life. I used to argue with my Sunday school teacher who was born again. And I used to argue doctrine with him like I knew something out of the Bible. And I hated Jesus Christ. I hated him. But he would say something that I thought was undoctrinal, and I would give him a hard time about it right in the middle of Sunday school class. But you know what? I look back now, I think, I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything. If you have not truth on the inward parts, all you know is a bunch of words. All you know is a bunch of mantras. All you know is a bunch of structure that you've built or that people have built around you, and somebody's given you that structure.
Yes, that's right.
That's exactly what it is.
Profit in these things. Well, we didn't go to a whole lot of verses, but I believe that I'm done.
Amen.
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 I won't drag this out too long, but boy, thank God for that message.
Amen.
You know, where's the truth? Do you have the truth on the inward parts? I'm not talking about having the truth in your head. The truth on the inward parts that changes. Doesn't leave you the same person you've always been. I hear people all the time say, well, I have Jesus Christ, and yet they're out drinking, smoking, doping, addicted to pornography and everything else. Let me just tell you this, Brother Pete. When Jesus Christ saved me, all that stuff went away. Why? Because the truth was on the inward parts. The law was written on my heart, and you know what? He was not going to leave it there. Not talking about a head knowledge. Talking about that truth on the inward parts where Jesus Christ changes. And you know what comes with that, Kyle? What blows my mind is I'll say, how many people believe that Jesus Christ spoke this world into existence? And man, they all raised their hand. I'll say, then why can't your Jesus change you?
Come on.
How about that?
Man, there's something wrong with that, because I know my Jesus changed me, but not. I've been saved almost 13 years. You think he stopped changing me?
No.
You think he allowed me to put it in neutral and just coast out of here? Oh, no. God still changes on the inward part. You know why? You have to have a love for the. You have to have a love for the truth. Do you have a love for that truth on the inward parts? Where that power, you can't deny that power. You can't deny the power of a changed life. You can't deny the power when Christ is inside of you. You can't even hardly explain that. You just go, my goodness, Lord.
Amen.
How good have you been to us? Well, I'm not going to drag this out. I thank God for that. What I'd like to do is, the Cirillo man, if he can come up here. We're going to take up an offering. And then after this offering, what I'd like to do is have...